Good morning, church. Buenos dias, iglesia. Trust 100% in the Lord. Trust only in the Lord. There was once a man who trusted in his wisdom. He was the smartest man in the entire world, and with his wisdom also amassed great riches. If you have all the wisdom in the world, and all the money in the world, what could go wrong? Here's what went wrong with this man, Solomon. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 4 through 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 4 through 11, where he says, I enlarged my works. I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards for myself. I made gardens and parks for myself, and I planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made ponds of water for myself from which to irrigate a forest of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves and I had homeborn slaves. Also, I possessed flocks and herds larger than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. Also, I collected for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and provinces. I provided for myself male and female singers and the pleasures of men, many concubines. It seems this man accomplished what the world desires. He did life perfectly according to him, according to the world. And yet it says, then I became great and increased more than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. My wisdom also stood by me. All that my eyes desired, I did not refuse them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure. For my heart was pleased because of all my labor. And this was my reward for all my labor. Thus I considered all my activities, which my hands have done, and the labor which I had exerted, and behold, all was vanity and striving after wind, and there is no profit under the sun. How can even the wisest man go wrong? It's when the wisest person forgets to trust completely in God, to lean completely upon God. There has to be a root, a basic default desire to always go to God. Or even much wisdom would not work. There was once a man who trusted in his strength. The strongest man ever, who took whatever he wanted because of that strength. And if anybody opposed him, he simply knocked them aside. Sometimes with the jawbone of animals. He was an unbeatable, unstoppable force on earth. The dream of any man. And if the Philistines came against him, he always won. Then how come this happened to him, this man, Samson? How come, despite all these things, we read Judges 16:20? Judges chapter 16, verse 20. And she, a woman who he desired, but she betrayed him, she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Oh, how depressing it must be. What a shock it must be to find out one day that the Lord has departed from you. Because it's not by strength that we are saved. It's only because of the Lord. And even if we have all the strength in the world, if we don't have the Lord, we have absolutely nothing. There was once a man who trusted in his power. He was able to call down the fire from the sky, literally. Crows could fly from the sky and give him food when he was hungry. He could run faster than chariots and raise people from the dead. And yet, he was scared. This man, Elijah, was scared because despite all of this, he was not leaning upon God completely. There will come a day that despite all of our skills and powers, it will not be enough. That even if you could change the world outside of you, even the physical nature of the world outside of you, you cannot change the world inside of you because that battle inside of you can only be won by the Lord. And so this man, after a lifetime of miracles, still found himself running away from the threats of an evil queen. Then he learned that he was never supposed to trust in his power. The power was never the point. 1 Kings 19, 9 through 13. I think he thought, I have all this power, then why can't I take this queen down? Why is this queen scaring me still? Lord, I'm by myself, he thought. Where's your power that I thought I had? 1 Kings 19, verses 9 through 13. See how this question was answered to him. And then he came to a cave. 1 Kings 19, verse 9. Then he came there to a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He said, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, tore down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left. And they seek my life to take it away. So he said, go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord was passing by. And a great and strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord. I think Elijah could have probably done that himself. Did powers like that in the past, but the Lord, it says, was not there. And then it says that the wind came. The Lord was not in the wind. And there was an earthquake as well, the Bible says. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake was a fire, even. But the Lord was not in the fire, this very same kind of fire that Elijah brought down earlier on. And then it says, and after the fire, a sound of gentle blowing. I want to understand the God of the gentle breeze. I'm interested in the peace of God and only God, trusting only in Him and not needing to see power, not needing to see money, not needing to see my vast wisdom or any sense, any of my delusions of myself, but believing only in the Lord. I'm interested in the peace of God and God being enough. And I believe this is what God wanted to show Elijah. He is enough. I want to be content with the quietness of God. There was once a man who trusted in his looks. It was said that in all of Israel, there was nobody who came close to his beauty. The Bible says he was perfect from head to toe. Indeed, his hair was so rich and so wonderful, the Bible says, that when he cut it once a year, it weighed 12 and a half pounds. We may say to ourselves, oh, if only I had more money. Oh, if only I were stronger. Oh, if only I had power. Oh, if only I had Hollywood looks. Then I'd be able to, well, fill in the blanks of our desires. In reply, the Lord would say, the Bible would show, if only you had God. If only you had the Lord, because people have had all these things. They've had money. They've been strong. They've had power. They've looked the best. And yet, they did not get whatever their desires were. You see, this man, Absalom, whose body was so great and his hair weighed 12 pounds when it was cut. Well, this is what happened to him. 2 Samuel 18, verse 9. 2 Samuel 18, verse 9. As he was running away from the people of God, now Absalom happened to meet the servants of David, for Absalom was riding on his mule, and the mule went under the thick branches of a great oak, and his head caught fast in the oak so that he was left hanging between heaven and earth, while the mule that was under him kept him going. So that very same hair, the very same thing that he thought was his glory, as you keep reading, will end up being leading to his destruction and to his fall. He got stuck there, and that's how he died. And the lesson there, when it comes to money, when it comes to strength, when it comes to power, when it comes to looks, these very same things that we think that we need will be the very same things that destroy us if we don't have God in our lives. You've heard the expressions, live by the sword, die by the sword. Or absolute power corrupts absolutely. Or money is the root of all kinds of evil. Or you are what you eat. All these expressions, two of them are biblical, by the way. All these expressions are warnings of the dangers of making anything material or earthly too important in our lives. Be careful if you're violent, because by that same violence, people, you will go down. Be careful with being consumed by power, because by that same power, one can become corrupt. Be careful thinking that money is the solution to all of our problems, because from money comes all kinds of evils. And be careful what we consume. Be careful what we eat, because it will have an effect upon ourselves bodily. But I will show you even spiritually, because I believe God has an answer, an alternative version of all these ways that we think we should live. God gives the answer to all the powerful things in the world that we think we should trust in. Do we trust in the sword? Live by the sword, die by the sword. Well, I present to you a better, more biblical way. 1 Peter 4, 1 and 2. 1 Peter 4, verses 1 and 2. Look what this Bible says. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose. Because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. Live by God. And I tell you, if you live by God, you'll die by God. But Romans says, if you die with the Lord, if you die with him, if you die with Jesus, you also raise up with him. The sword does not have that guarantee. If we die by the sword has no resurrection promise behind it. I love 1 Peter 4, 1 as well. It says that these people have ceased from sin. Some versions say that you are done with sin, that all of us can reach a point in our lives that even if we do sin, we know for a fact sin is not a real option in our lives. Sin is not what we want to do. Even if we do it, we repent because we know, I don't want to be in sin. And the Bible says, if we have suffered in the flesh for Christ, these kind of people are done with sin. Live for the Lord. Or absolute power corrupts absolutely. How does the Bible answer that? I present to you a better, more biblical way. Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Be consumed by God. Be full of him and make everything in our lives in his purpose. And the fact of the matter is, if we are in God, all that we have in our lives will be working together for God. Money being the root of all kinds of evil, I present to you a better way. I present to you a better root. The idea is that money is like an evil tree. The money tree idea is like an evil tree. And from that evil tree sprouts and grows all kinds of evil ideas and problems and issues. As some have said, more money, more problems. However, Galatians 5 brings up a better kind of plant, a better kind of spring, if you will. I want to say Ursprung, German. A better kind of fount of blessings, if you will. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. What kind of tree is in your backyard? What kind of fruit do you want to have growing in your lives? Hopefully not the money, what money brings, and the false things of money and the evil of money. But the Bible says, Galatians 5, 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. You've heard the expression, you are what you eat. You are what you eat. Well, let's eat something different. Let's be better. Let's become this. Because this is the idea that Christ is talking about here. He will say something that is so deep and perhaps difficult, but it's so true, because if we do what he says here, we will become like Christ. John 6, 53. John chapter 6, verse 53 through 56. The chapter of controversy. He loses many followers here. And he continues to speak the truth. So Jesus said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourself." It's spiritual. I link it at times to our Lord's Supper just now. "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." Literally speaking, you are what you eat. If we choose to allow Christ that deeply into our lives, we can become very much like Christ, linked to Christ, him living in us, us living in him, inseparable Christians. We might find comfort in our knowledge. We may say to ourselves, "I know in my mind that this should be how it should go." But can we at times put aside our knowledge and simply say, "I'm just going to trust in God? Just going to trust in Christ?" That was Paul's attitude in 1 Corinthians 2:2. In 1 Corinthians 2:2, I imagine he was very scared to go to Corinth, a city which was well known for being the center of horrific sins. And I imagine Paul was kind of scared, but Paul said, "I determined," he says in 1 Corinthians 2:2, "I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." And do you notice how it requires a mental choice? He says, I determined to view it this way. I could have brought knowledge if I wanted to, but I determined, I made a choice to only make sure I trust in God. I've spoken about men who trusted in their wisdom and money, their strength, their power, and their looks. Well, there was once a man who used to have wisdom but lost it because he said, "Teach me, and I will be silent, and show me how I have erred. How painful are honest words. But what does your argument prove? Do you intend to reprove my words, when the words of one in despair belong to the wind?" This man was so discouraged, he felt, "Whatever I say doesn't matter anymore. I've lost my wisdom," he felt. There was once a man who used to have great riches, but he lost all of it, because he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." There was once a man who had great strength, but he lost all of it, because he says, "For my groaning comes at the sight of my food, and my cries pour out like water. For what I fear comes upon me, and what I dread befalls me. I am not at ease, nor am I quiet, and I am not at rest, but turmoil comes." This is all the same man. Can you guess who it is? Job. This same man once had physicality and looks, but he lost all of it, because the Bible says, "Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and smote him, and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took a potsherd to scrape himself while he was sitting among the ashes." A man who lost it all. One would think this man's life was completely over. This man's life was a failure. But this man Job, never ever leaned or trusted on anything else to begin with. He always was focused on God. So essentially, although he lost everything, because he had God, he truly, truly lost nothing. He never trusted in anything more than he trusted in God. He always lived with God being his strength, so that when it was all gone, Job automatically stayed true to God. Despite his wife saying, "Curse God and die." Despite his best friends telling him over and over again, "You're wrong. You must have sinned. You're in error. You're a bad person. Job kept saying, I know, I don't understand what's happening. I don't get it, but I will not forsake the Lord. Today, even if we have wisdom, please don't think that it's by that wisdom that we will be saved. Today, even if you have great riches, don't take comfort in that. Today, even if you have amazing looks and fabulous charm, take no security in this. Look forward to trusting only in God. Why is it so hard to trust in God? Why is this a challenge to trust only in the Lord? Because, well, I think because God is invisible. And all these other things are visible, or so we think. But I asked everyone to try again to lean upon Him. One day, we're going to have to trust only in God. Practice it right now, before the day arrives. Be ready, like Job. Job was already prepared. And believe it or not, Job was prepared for this, what he went into before it happened. Trust in God and see how He works wonders in our lives. For Christians who are struggling with that today, now's the time for prayers. Anybody who is out there not in the faith, who has discovered already that trusting other things does not work out, this is the opportunity to find the great source, the beginning of all things, the Alpha and the Omega, one who will never, ever let us down. Please think of these things as we stand and sing.